right, everybody. This is part two of Cat B's podcast. We're going to start off with some games. The first game, Cat, that you get to play is a free association game.
Oh, what is... So is that like where you say a word and I say what it makes me think of?
Exactly.
Okay.
So the first word, yellow.
B is the first thing I thought of.
Okay. Food.
McDonald's.
What does this say, Laura? I don't even know. Okay, party.
Party. Pooper.
Oh, cozy.
Cozy?
Mm-hmm.
The word cozy? I think of like a fireplace.
Nice. Okay, so you're pretty literal. I was expecting the opposite.
I can be really crazy, but I feel like if you put me on the spot, then it like, it's like.
Focus. Okay, fly.
Swatter.
Story.
Teller.
Scary.
I'm thinking of like a goblin or like a ghoul or something.
My son just showed me the goblin shark the other day. Have you
heard
of that?
Oh, yeah. That thing is pretty
The mouth
freaky.
In the mouth. Ooh.
The things that you see in the deep water is pretty horrifying.
Yes. Okay, weird.
Me?
School.
I think of like a school bus.
Okay. Hobby.
I think I think of like woodworking for some reason, which is weird because I'm not a woodworker, but that's like what comes to mind.
Now we're getting all Sigmund Freud on you. The deep places. Exercise. Or is that Rorschach? What's the one that's supposed to, psychotherapy is supposed to like unlock your inner?
Oh, which person the Rorschach is that? Trust. Maybe. I think words association is one of the things that they do too.
Okay. All right. Exercise.
I think of like maybe like running.
Okay. Rain.
Rain. I think of puddles and jumping into puddles and yellow galoshes.
Cute. Feet.
Feet. I think of toenails.
All right. Here we're going to move on oddly to yummy.
Yummy. I think of like that Justin Bieber song. Girl, you got that yummy.
Travel.
I think of France.
Okay. Pet.
For some reason, the first thing that came to my mind was toucan, but I don't know why.
Now we're getting to it. Yeah. Not the dog you told me you ate in Korea.
No.
Lunch.
I think of like rice cakes or like onigiri. Like they're like these little rice triangle shapes. What are shapes? And then inside it has like a filling. They're really good.
Okay.
I like to eat those for lunch.
Summer.
I think of watermelon. I love watermelon, but I can't eat too much or it makes me sick.
And candy.
Candy. Oh, I love candy. I think of Sour Patch. It's the best.
Yum. Great job.
Thank you.
Now
did
I
win?
Yes.
Oh, yay.
All right. So now I'm going to ask you a whole lot of questions for 5 minutes.
Okay.
Talk as fast as you can.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
What book do you want more people to read?
Anything by Diana Wynne Jones or Jonathan Stroud. That's a really hard question to ask a librarian.
Good call. Do you have a useless talent?
My fingers are double jointed, so I can, do this. Sorry, you can't see, but.
Awesome. Say 2 words that describe you.
Weird alien.
Do you have a hero?
Yes. My hero. Actually, I would probably say Diana Wynne Jones. She's an author I really like. She was actually the student of C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien. And she wrote Howl's Moving Castle. That's one of like her more famous ones. But I think her writing style is really cool and I admire her a lot.
Awesome. 2 musicians on your playlist.
Ooh, I really love Muse. And I also really love The Gorillaz.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But I try to listen to a lot of new music, but those are like the oldies that I always come back to.
Definitely fun. All right. Exact favorite spot in your home.
I really love my bed. I'm pretty lazy and I love to lay down and my bed is just really, really comfy. And so it's my favorite place.
Okay. Is there any human that changed the course of your life?
Yes. So that guy, Joey, that I was talking about, he definitely changed the course of my life. But there's a lot of people. My sister definitely was another big one. I don't know. I feel like so many people can change the course of your life. But those are two that I can think of right off the top of my head.
All right. What's your middle name?
My middle name is Jean. I was named after my grandmother.
Is your name Catherine?
Yeah, Catherine.
Okay.
But that's not from her. Nice name. Just the middle name is Jean.
Are you working on anything in your house, home edit projects?
I need to clean my room. I think when you say house project, does it have to be specifically to a house or just like a project that I'm working on?
You can change the rules. What's a project? Go ahead.
I am working on like a fairy tale. Okay. So I've written the first part, but now I'm writing the second part and it's pretty tricky, but I think it's pretty good.
All right. Can't wait. All right. If I ran into you at a restaurant, where would you be?
Like what part of the restaurant or what restaurant would I be?
What chair? What right?
What chair?
You are a literalist.
I'd probably be by a window. You could probably find me at...
I love the way you thought about that.
Well, I really like... I love Mexican food and I love Asian food. I feel like if there's like a kimbap restaurant or like a Korean restaurant, you definitely find me there.
Yeah. All right. If you had 10 times your budget, what would you spend it on?
10 times my budget? Oh my goodness. I would probably buy like a crazy instrument that I would probably never play. Like a guitar or something.
Please buy a guitar. Oh, I need to see that. I need to hear it. All right. Do you collect anything?
Yeah, I would say that I collect music and I definitely have way too many books. Like I get rid of so many every year and then I just, especially working at a library, like when we get rid of books, I like sneak them.
Awesome.
And yeah, it's bad. I have way too many.
What is the last skill you learned?
Last skill I learned. My mom has been kind of teaching me how to sew. I'm not very good at it, though. Cool. Not very subtle.
What is a book or a resource that influenced you?
Well, I feel like The Hobbit definitely inspired me.
Do you find the match for your socks and you do laundry?
Oh, that is a very hard part. Often I will wear not matching socks for that very reason.
Okay. What was your last meal?
My last meal was something from Panda Express. Yum. It was really good. I had orange chicken, I think.
What's your favorite smell?
I really like peppermint and eucalyptus together, but I also really like the smell of rain. I feel like that's a really typical answer, but I like it.
If you could become an expert in something, what would it be?
Folklore, for sure. I would love to be one of those people that travels from school to school and like tells stories. Cool. That would be really cool.
Okay. What are you reading right now?
Well, I'm reading the book that we are all supposed to be reading for community group, but I can't remember what it's called. It's like, what...
What Do You Believe?
Yeah, that. I'm Culture. Reading What Do You Believe, and I'm also reading this manga series called Witch Hat Adelaide. It's really, really good. And I'm also reading a series by Jonathan Stroud. It's called Notorious Scarlet and Brown. It's like an adventure... dystopian kind of story. It's pretty good though.
What is a place in scripture encouraging to you?
I am really encouraged by Philippians, especially chapter 4 when it talks about do not worry. That verse actually used to really stress me out. But once I actually like understood the context of it, that one really comforts me a lot. I also really like reading the Psalms, and Romans is a favorite of mine because it's kind of what brought me to Christ. So that's definitely a comfort book of mine. Oh, I also really love the book of John because it's kind of metaphorical and deep, I feel like.
Yeah. Is there a lie of the enemy you tend to believe?
Yeah, a lot of times I think that I'm not good enough or I'm not doing enough or that I have to do things like on my own. Like self-reliance is definitely a tricky one. So that one is definitely one that gets to me.
Final question. Are there any traditions that you have in your home?
So my family for Christmas will have the same dinner that we had for like Thanksgiving. We'll like make it over again. And we usually for what Santa brings or whatever, we will stuff the stockings for each other. And it's always like bathroom items like deodorant or like toothpaste.
Love it.
So when I was a kid, I used to think that like Santa was just really interested in my hygiene. Yeah, that's kind of a tradition, I guess.
That's amazing. Okay. We're done. And you still do that?
Yeah, we still do that. Mm. It's fun because now, since we're, my sister and I are adults, we'll do my mom and dad's, mm-hmm. and then they'll do ours.
Cute.
So it usually has, yeah, all kinds of like hygiene products, and then there'll be like random candy and stuff in there too, but mainly it's just a brush, a toothbrush, toothpaste.
Hey, we need new ones, so yeah, it makes sense.
It's good to have a new one every year.
Thanks, Santa.
Yeah.
All right, Kat. What neighborhood do you live in, and how long have you been there?
Neighborhood. So I actually live with my family, which is kind of crazy because there's my mom and my dad and then my sister and her husband, and they have a baby. So it's definitely a full house, but it's still very nice. And we live in Chesterfield County on Lux Lane. So we've been living there ever since, I think, like the year I moved to Virginia. We've been living in the same house. So yeah, it's like a really nice little like suburban neighborhood. It's definitely been developing more and more. We have a gas station right across the street now, which is exciting.
So you're all in a little house.
It's not little. Like, there's a really big basement. That's where my sister and her husband live. They're like building their own house right now, but it's taking a really long time. And yeah, it's pretty big. So there's like the basement, and then there's like the middle floor, and then like an upper floor. And then we have an attic, but the attic's like hell. It's like very like hot and hot. Crazy up there.
Okay. Well, you just told me who's in your household. And how long have you been coming to Remnant, and who invited you?
I have been going to Remnant for, I think, 7 years because I moved back here right after I turned 30, and I just turned 37. So I wasn't invited by anybody, but I think I Googled churches in the area. I might have put even like churches with community or something.
Yeah.
And Remnant was one of the ones that came up.
Awesome. And so which campus would you have started at?
There was only one when I first started. It was the downtown one. And I remember because I was, one of the things I was really afraid of when I first moved back here, I didn't know how to parallel park. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I liked about Remnant is they had their own little like parking lot.
Yes.
And so I'd always try to get there early enough that I could park. And that's when we used to have three services too.
Oh,
there
yes.
was like the
4 o'clock.
Like, yes. And that was super nice because I was working at a donut shop at the time. And even though I told them that I couldn't work on Sunday mornings, they would always schedule me. So if I had to work on Sunday mornings, I could still go to church, which is really nice.
All right. Well, whose community group are you currently in?
I am in the Fords group.
Okay. And all right. So we're just going to go for it because we have a lot to cover, which I'm excited about. The first section is, of course, your garden section. And then this is the planning part, kind of the desires or dreams or plans you have. So nothing that's really happened yet.
Well, earlier I mentioned that I am a bit of a mess. I feel like I'm a mess physically, emotionally, environmentally. I'm a pretty messy person. So I'm actually not a very good planner, but I do have like dreams of things that I would like to achieve. I am a huge procrastinator. So if you're listening to this and you're like, when is that going to happen? You can always come up and ask me that, and it'll probably kick me in the butt to actually like get some things done. One of the things I'd really like to do is I would like to be published. I'd love to do a book of stories or something like that at some point. Another thing I would really like to do that's probably like more doable at the moment, I would really like to start maybe like a once a month kind of thing where we meet somewhere like, I don't know, like a park or something. And I can either read or like tell stories for like kids at Remnant. And then maybe it'll be like a Saturday morning or something. And I just think that would be really cool because a lot of times I tell stories at church, but then it's like, you know, people are trying to leave or things are chaotic. So I think it'd be cool to have like a time set apart to do something like that. And I have mentioned this to some of the kids and they always are like, when is that going to happen? And I'm like, oh, it's the summer. I really have no excuse. I just need to like sit down and organize it. So that's one thing I'd like to do. The other one is a little bit more abstract, but I think I kind of mentioned this earlier. Like, I would like to be the kind of woman that I wish I'd had in my life as a teen. So I think it would be really cool to just be able to encourage, especially girls as they're growing up, to just like remind them that they're beautiful and unique and, you know, made in God's image. And yeah, especially like, you know, as they are becoming preteens and stuff like that, I think it'd be cool to like, you know, take them out for coffee and like just ask them about how they're doing and like take an interest in them. So yeah, those are some things that I'd really like to do.
Okay. So we're going to pedal up to the mess part.
Okay.
Are you like the messy person where I would walk in your house and I'm like, this is an organized mess? Or are you just, where I put it is where it stays?
For me, no, you, if you came in, you'd be like, what is going on in this room? I don't like to like put things inside of things. As soon as it's like in a drawer, like I'm gonna forget where it is. And I think that's why I tend to be like messy, because I like to kind of have my eyes on things.
Yeah.
But also, like I said, I'm kind of lazy. So I think instead of being like, okay, I need to put this where it goes, I'll just be like, oh, I'll just throw it here for now. And then, you know, I feel like maybe this is probably relatable to a lot of women. Do you have like a chair?
A chair where
you like draped. Put all of the things.
Yeah.
And then the chair is like, I don't know, it just looks like a heap of clothes, but there's a chair in there somewhere.
Yeah.
I definitely have that.
It's in my room. For sure. All right. So are you someone that likes surprises and spontaneity and things like that?
I feel like I did a lot more when I was younger. I think as I've gotten older, maybe I've gotten more boring. I like doing like kind of spur of the moment kind of things. I'm like easygoing, but I don't think I'm as spontaneous as I used to be. When I was younger, you know, I've obviously done a lot of traveling and stuff, but I feel like I've become more of a homebody over the years and stuff like that, to be honest. So I don't know.
Yeah. I like the part you said you're trying to, at least you wrote this, manage your expectations about the future and take things in manageable chunks. And that just sounds wise.
Yes, I tend to inflate my expectations so high that they can't be achieved. So when it comes to planning for the future, I think in the past, I have had lots of big dreams. And I usually would like attach an age to that. Like by the time I'm this age, I would like to have achieved this. And a lot of times I don't, you know, God has other plans, or just it doesn't happen the way that I want it to. And in the past, that would totally like destroy me. I'd be like, oh no, I didn't achieve that. Like now what? So I do try to keep things in manageable chunks where it's like, well, who knows what's going to happen in the next 2 years. But in the next 2 months, I think I could probably do this. But it's good to have like, you know, a general plan for the future. But I don't know. You never know what's going to happen. You could get hit by a truck.
Yeah. But you also went on to say that you had plans in the past that didn't come to fruition. And you wrote, but God had a better... Yes. And that to me sounds like a matured statement, like something that you didn't just arrive at overnight. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think as, you know, as a woman, I mean, I feel like you definitely as a teen, you kind of plan out what you want to do. So, you know, I thought I'd definitely be married by now and have a family and stuff like that. But, you know, when I think about people that I've dated or people that I might have ended up with, I never regret not, like, that I didn't end up with that person, because I always think, like, yeah, but look at what I've been able to achieve, like, the way that I am, you know what I mean? As much as being single is annoying at times, I can also see, like, how God has used my singleness to, like, help other people. Being single, you have a lot of free time. I've been able to, like, you know, like, talk with my family a lot more and, like, heal a lot of that kind of stuff, which I don't think I would have been able to had I not, you know, been like how I am now. Or even like getting to know different women and encourage different women, like, you know, I'm able to be pretty in people's lives. Not that you, like, if you're married and have children, you can't like do any of that, but just not in the same way.
Yeah.
So I feel like you have to, as I said, you can't lose sight of the forest for a couple of trees that are pretty cool.
Yeah. That was funny to me. Yeah. At the same time, though, there is a sense that we're like, we have to, if we're talking about like planning and dreaming, we can't just like lay back and be totally passive at
That's
the same
true.
Time. You know, so longings do move us. We have to have some kind of longing, some kind of desire, so that we have some kind of direction.
That's true. And that's definitely like a weakness of mine with being passive. And sometimes I do feel like I just kind of, I'm like, well, I guess I'll just see what happens. I feel like there's a way of like not letting your expectations go crazy, but also having healthy expectations. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm still navigating how to find the Goldilocks, like perfect balance of those two things.
Is that what it's called? The Goldilocks?
I don't know.
I like it.
That's what I'm calling it.
All right, let's talk about these stories for remnant kids, which is really cool. So do you think of the kids ahead of time as you write the stories, or you just get there and you see them and you're like, ah, I got a story now?
Some of them I make up. Some of them I just kind of retell. But sometimes I'll like change up how it is because I'm like, oh, the actual story is kind of weird. Like, mm-hmm. maybe I should do it in a different way. Or sometimes I'll ask them, what do you want to hear a story about? And they'll be like, I want an octopus and a unicorn. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I'll try to figure that one out. But as a kid, I remember really loving when people would tell fairy tales.
Yeah.
I like how fairy tales have like a moral to them. And I feel like especially the way that stories are going these days is there's not really like a good and a bad anymore. Everything's just kind of neutral. So one of the things that I think is really cool about fairy tales is there is a good and a bad, and good always like wins over the bad, which I think is good, especially for children to hear. Like, you know, even though scary things happen, and you know, like when it comes to things like stories about dragons and, you know, monsters and stuff like that, I think, you know, in real life, we do come up against big obstacles. They might not be a literal dragon, but it reminds us that, like, we can succeed against things like that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, when it comes to dragons, if you think about, like, Revelations, you do have things like dragons. And so evil is a real thing. And it's good to remember that, you know, good will overcome evil.
Yeah. I want to bring up this story to you, but not till later. But I just listened to one called... Kill the Dragon, Get the Girl.
Oh.
And it was very unexpected, and it was really good, and I'm going to recommend it, but ooh, I'll bring it up later.
Yeah, anyway,
so
good.
Do you remember a first story that you told? How long have you been telling stories? I guess I'll ask you.
Well, I've been telling stories since I can remember, really. I remember as a kid, I would always retell my dreams, but really I just wanted people to listen to me. So I actually don't really tell my dreams very often to like my family anymore, because it's kind of like a joke of like, oh, her dream, she actually just wants to, you know, talk and have people listen to her. I was banned from telling stories for a little while in third grade because I got really into Greek mythology. Mm-hmm. And my dad gave me this really cool Greek mythology book. But Greek mythology is like really kind of inappropriate.
Yeah, I know.
So I'd be on the playground like telling all these young children about like, you know, how like Medusa, like, you know, they cut off Medusa's head and Pegasus came out of her blood. And like, you know, I didn't spare any of the gory details, and the children were like horrified. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've always liked the idea of stories and coming up with them. And, you know, have you ever played the story game before? It's where you're like in a circle of friends, or maybe it's just you and one other friend, and like you say a sentence and then the next person says a sentence.
Okay.
And you figure out who's like... One person always is like the one that's trying to solve the problems, and then you always have the one person that's like making all the problems happen. It's a fun story though.
Maybe I should do that with my kids.
I feel like they would like it.
And yeah.
You never know what they will say. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So what's a good opening line to get you started?
We used to always start with, well, it's fun when you are in the story, you become a little bit more invested. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you can say like, we were all in the car driving down the street when, and then like the next person goes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Or sometimes we'll start with, we were driving down the highway, but the highway was on fire. Then you just go from there.
Perfect. I'm going to use it. All right. I love something in this has got to be more than story. It sounds like there's also in you a desire to share, I would think.
Share, like, about my life or just...
Yeah, or just because it's, like, not only the content that you want to give to someone. It's, I think, probably also sounds just like listening to you, the giving of something to someone else.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think that's kind of where... I think I've always been, like, a bit of an entertainer. I mean, I like making people laugh. Or, you know, it's just... It's exciting to, like, feel emotions with other people, I guess. Even when you're watching a movie with another person... I mean, I might not be telling that story, but I like talking with people afterwards. Like, what did you think of that? Or like, oh, I hated that. Like, let's talk about why we didn't like it. Or like, what if you could change one thing about it, what would it be? So I think stories in general, like, there's just a lot to like dissect in them. And, like, you know, they're so easy to change or, like, make better or make worse.
Yeah.
And there's so many forms of it, whether it's, you know, movies, comics, music. Sometimes songs are, like, a story.
Sure, yeah.
Stand-up comedy. Like, I mean, what are those but, like, short stories about someone's life or, you know, observations? So I think there's just, like, so many different forms of it that is kind of exciting. And, like, as technology is continuing, there's, I don't know, so many different avenues, some good and some kind of scary.
Yeah. I just want to ask you, are there certain images or symbols that you find yourself really liking to talk about or weave into your stories a lot?
Well, so if you're thinking about things like archetypes and stuff like that, I really like the trickster archetype. I like tricky characters I like sometimes when stories have an unexpected twist. For example, if you think of the movie Shrek, it takes a lot of fairy tale things that you know about, but then it turns it into something that you weren't expecting. When stories do that, I always think it's really fun, and, like, I enjoy that a lot, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Very fun. Yeah, I was just thinking about how also just the idea as something that my family has been just observing as far as in the downtown Remnant space, there's the art gallery, and just how much there's, like, this visual literacy that's happening in our church, especially in, like, the young people, is pretty exciting to think, like, who are they going to be when they grow up now that they've had such a rich visual literacy?
That's true.
And so if you're going to possibly start this, or even the children that you have started to do this with, it's like we need, as human beings, like, these rich symbols, these rich, there's a way that you can just understand, like, there's just a different kind of, like, knowledge you have through story, through symbol, through images. That's really the way the Bible works in a lot of ways.
Yeah, when you think about parables,
even Psalm 23 is, like, that rod and that staff, they're not just random, they hold
they
so
mean
much
something.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, with metaphor and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, that's so true. I think sometimes fiction specifically, you know, you can get at it, like, a deeper truth. Obviously, fiction is not true, but I feel like it's attacking something from a very different point of view. Like, it's talking about things in a more symbolic way. So when I think about Jesus talking in parables, obviously, in some ways, it was to reach the people that he was talking to that would understand, you know, so they could understand something. But yeah, metaphors, like, you know, their images, like, they really stick with you in a different kind of way. I think that's one of the reasons why I really love listening to Doug Ponder talk, because he uses a lot of metaphors, and so I feel like a lot of the images that he describes, they, like, really stick with me for a long time. So yeah, metaphors are, like, a huge way for people to, like, understand things in a, you know, in a very different way.
For example, I'll just bring up the book again, the Kill the Dragon, Get the Girl. There's a part where water is involved in a certain part of the story where you're waking up these children who have been frozen for 3 years and or under a trance, I guess. And Ryan, like, right away, he's like, baptism. Like, and it's just like, you know, and it sent my mind, like, reeling in all these directions that were really cool. And just for you to be able to give kids stories where they can start to see, like, I'm not saying they're going to know what you're going to say. Like you said, you like to give twists, but you can anticipate certain things, or you just understand the world, because there are patterns to our world.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's fun.
That's cool. Another thing that I feel like would be cool in that regard, I remember, like, when I was in college, I took this one class. It was like Christianity, or, like, maybe it was like theology in the cinema or something, where we had to watch different movies and then we had to write a paper about, I mean, they were just regular movies. They weren't Christian movies. We had to talk about Christian symbology that was in, like, the different movies, because, you know, we're living in a secular world, but our secular world is still affected by God. I mean, God created the world. So, like, we still have, like, these baptismal kind of images, even in, like, these secular plots, where, like, you can't help but weave some of that into stories. I mean, it's just, it's there.
Yeah. All right, so now we're gonna go to sewing.
Okay.
And then the description of this section is, there's something being sewn in your life right now, something new or something at the beginning stages. So I think of these as just seeds of faith that you're planting.
Okay. So I think patience is always something that's being sown in me. It's funny because a couple of years ago, somebody asked me, like, what are the fruits of the spirit that you think, you know, you have or whatever? And I said, oh, patience. I'm so patient. And ever since I've said that, I can see all the ways that I'm actually not patient at all. Isn't that always how you get humbled? Mm. There is a very convicting verse in Romans 12. I think it's 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, be persistent in prayer. So I'm single, but I know moms, wives, I mean, we all have to experience patience in big ways. I think sometimes as a single woman, especially in my 30s, like there's just like a unique kind of patience and endurance that comes with that.
Sure.
Like I said earlier, I've come to see God as real and all powerful, but just like we've been talking in Genesis, I think I often struggle with that all good part. So there are definitely some verses that refute that.
Yeah.
Like James 1:17, every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. There's nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. So I think just like being around moms have actually like helped me a lot with this. You know, your kid wants to run down the stairs or stick their finger in a light socket and you're saying no.
Yeah.
Because you know what's going to happen. Like, you know, they're going to trip down the stairs and, like, you know, bust their teeth out. Yeah. Or get an electric shock or something like that. But your kid doesn't know that. To them, you're like, why are you doing this to me? Why do you want to ruin my life? And I think a lot of times that's how I feel about God. Or when I don't, you know, when I selfishly, like, things aren't going the way that I want them to. Where I'm like, why? Like, what I want is a good thing. Like, right. Why can't I have it right now? But God's timing, just like with Sarah, like, you know, plotting all of these ways to get what she wanted, but it wasn't God's way, and she just had to wait until she was, like, 90.
Yeah, yeah. That's a wild thought. She said it, didn't she say, like, I'm dead? I'm as good as dead or something?
Yeah. So I think about that. I've been thinking about that a lot since we went over that, because it's like, yeah, man, like, God's timing and like God just reminding you of like, actually, I want to do this because it's going to remind you that I'm the one giving this to you. Because there are like, you know, I feel like God gave me the job that I have right now. But there are some times where I'm like, no, I got the job because I'm good at it. Mm-hmm. So it's like you can doubt like, did God give that to me? Or am I just, you know, did I just do really well in the interview? But it's like, no, I did well in the interview because God placed me exactly to like see that this job was even open, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like as humans we so easily like forget things.
You said patience is always being sown in you. Is it, do you go through spouts of like trusting and then you're like, oh, I'm done with it, so I'm impatient?
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, man, sometimes I feel like it has to do with the time of the month it is almost.
Yeah.
But there, or even, you know, with like my coworkers, with different students, there will be sometimes where I'm like, look at me, I'm a saint. Like, I can deal with them even though they're being so obnoxious. And there's other times where I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot deal with you right now.
Right.
Like, you know, like, get out of my face. So definitely, like, it's something that sometimes I feel like I have a pretty good pulse on. And, like, sometimes I'm like, I don't know, man. What is patience? I don't know her.
What would a mature plant, hypothetically speaking, look like here then? If it's something that you said it's just keeps getting sown and keeps getting sown, what would it look like for you to like mature up in this, do you think?
Patience is really trusting God to like work things out, like no matter what it looks like at the moment. So I think it's, I don't know, like, I don't know what God is going to do with this situation. Yeah. But I trust that it's going to work out for the best. And sometimes it's having healthy expectations. And sometimes it's like just having open expectations and being like, I don't know, you know, obviously it's not working out the way that I thought it would work out. But that's not like a bad thing. Whereas I feel like very dramatically, I'll be like, oh, it's all over.
Yeah.
Woe is me.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm different than you in this. For me, I was reflecting on how I too am impatient as you wrote that down. And I was thinking about how a lot of times for me, my wrong assumptions fuel my impatience. And I just sort of act without eyes of faith, and I'm just kind of assume what's the case and rush to action and don't need to do that. I don't know if that's something you...
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I think especially when we're dealing with people that are not... So in Korea, we used to call them cactus people. So you have like normal people and then you have cactus people that are just like spiny and like they're just not really fun people to like...
Okay.
You know, if you hug a cactus, you're going to get like spined.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you don't hug them even though...
But their arms are open.
Exactly. They need it. And you have puddle friends too that you're just constantly like mopping up. You're like, come on, let's go. But wait, where was I going with this?
Assumptions.
Oh, yeah. I think sometimes the reason why I'm impatient with people like that in my life, like annoying people, is that I like wrongly make them out to be something that they aren't, or like, I think that they're thinking something that they're not thinking. Or I'm just, when I'm irritated with my mom, I'm like, well, she thinks this about me. And like, that's why she's treating me like this. Like, maybe she isn't.
Yeah.
Or like, why would I assume that? You know, just, you know, the only person that knows how that person's thinking is God. Like, we don't, right. I don't know what they're thinking. But I think so often we just, it's easier, I think, to do that. And I think it's easier to excuse your impatience when you're like, well, they're doing this. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
So you had a funny analogy here. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
What was it? The monkey paw.
Oh, yeah. So I said, when I look back, I see that God really did use everything to grow me and stretch me in good ways. But I still wince whenever he gives me something new or takes away something else I was holding on to too tightly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's hard to like give up things that are comfortable or things that you like about yourself sometimes. That like, you know, I liked thinking that I was patient. It was hard for me to like give up that idea that I was, you know, not like that actually. And so sometimes I feel like I am afraid to ask for things. And this is where I use the analogy. I feel like it's going to be a monkey's paw situation. I don't know if you've ever read the story, The Monkey's Paw, but basically it's where you wish for something and you get the wish, but it's in like the worst way possible.
Okay.
Like you wish for $1,000 and you get $1,000, but it's because your husband died in at work.
Oh my goodness.
Or like, okay, you know, like something horrible like that.
Right.
And it was funny because if you read the Gospels, Matthew 7 actually is pretty clear about that is not the way that God is. Mm. It says, don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This isn't a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your child asks for bread, do you trick him with sawdust? If he asks for fish, do you scare him with a live snake in his plate? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. So don't you think God, who conceived you in love, will be even better? That always like convicts me when I think like badly of God, where I'm like, oh man, like, no, he actually loves me even more than, you know, sometimes I think like my best friend loves me better than anyone, but I'm like, God actually loves me better than her. Like, you know what I mean? So yeah, sometimes I feel like Ashton Tower always says this, like sometimes the no is for a better yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think also sometimes, like, I don't know if you've ever done this, but like when you really want God to give you something, like you've been praying for something a lot, do you ever find yourself trying to like perform morally? Because you're like, maybe this will butter God up.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
As if like, you know, I remember somebody said once, like, God will never love you more or less than he does right now. And that like really shook me. I was like, what?
Wow. Yeah.
You know, on my worst day and on my best day, he loves me the same amount. So I feel like sometimes I notice myself, like when I'm really praying for something, I'm like, I have to be really morally good.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe I'll get that as a treat.
Yeah.
Where it's like, God isn't like withholding it from me because he thinks that I'm being bad. He's withholding it because it's not good for me right now.
Yep.
Like, you know what I mean? And I feel like that's hard to handle sometimes because we don't see, you know, life is like a mosaic or like pointillism, where if you're standing really close, it's just a bunch of dots and you don't really understand what it is. But like, you know, for God and like when we're like on the other side, like when we're in heaven, like we'll see like, oh, this is what that was. Like, you know, that was in the middle of making this really pretty part of the picture. But we're so close living it that we're like, I don't know what this is. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what he's trying to do.
But at the same time, there's never a day scripture says that we don't have all that we need.
Yeah.
And somehow I still find myself going, isn't there something else?
Well, I think it's like we have all we need, but we don't always have all that we want.
Okay, there you
go. And I think that's what we confuse sometimes. Where we're like, but God, I really want this. But it's like, well, obviously I don't really need it at this moment.
Right.
Even if I think I really need it, it's actually that I just really want it.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Did you mention yet it's good God doesn't give us what we deserve?
No, I didn't, but I can.
Okay.
So I said, so it's still a struggle for me, especially when things don't seem to be going the way that I want them to. It's good that God doesn't give us what we deserve. I think, because, I mean, obviously, like, what we actually deserve is hell. And I think that sounds really harsh. But it's true. Like, and, you know, what we deserve is judgment, actually. Today, the sermon today was about, like, judgment. And, like, actually, it's really good that God is a judge and that he loves justice. But I think, like, sometimes we trick ourselves into thinking, like, God, I deserve this. Like, haven't I been so good for you? Like, why can't you give me this one thing? Like, we're trying to, like, bargain.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're trying to use God as, like, a genie. And I think that's a tempting way to look at God sometimes. But when you think about a genie, like, who's in control? Like, right. It's not genie, it's Aladdin. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think, yeah, that's a bad way to think. But it's an easy way to think.
All right, we're going to move into your watering section.
Okay.
Things you're actively tending, stewarding, or praying about.
I talked about something that's being watered in my life is my creativity. We've been talking about, like, stories and stuff like that, but this year it was really cool. I participated in, like, this really big writing contest. That was really cool because it was, like, a really good challenge for me, and it also, I think, taught me a lot. Usually I work really well under a deadline, and I'm not usually very competitive, but when it comes to writing, like, I can get very competitive. And it, like, stokes the desire in me to, like, do well and to, you know, show the gifts that I do have. So it was really weird because in the second round, so you would get, like, a different genre and character and theme. And so for my second round, I got comedy, which you'd think I would do really well. And I was blanking. It was crazy. Like, I wrote so many drafts and they were, like, not funny at all. I was really having, like, a mental breakdown, kind of, where I was like, man, I thought I was funny. I thought I could, you know, tell these stories. And now, like, I'm just plagued with doubt, like, self-doubt. And, like, I kind of prayed, okay, God, yeah, you know, I'm doing this. Help me out. But for the most part, I was like, I can do this. Like, I have to do this. Like, this is the thing that I'm going to do. And I ended up going to this baby shower that I was like, why did I agree to go to this baby shower? Like, I'm so busy. I need to work on this. But I still went. And I also, like, was making, like, a salad for it. And I was, like, really stressed out. But I did it. And I went. And I feel like God really blessed me for, like, being obedient and, like, not just holding myself up, but being in community. Because I was talking with some people about it. And I was just like, man, I'm just stuck. I don't even know. And when I was driving home, I was, like, feeling really defeated. I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna have anything to turn in for this contest. And I was really depressed about it. And I was praying, like, God, I don't know how to do this story. Like, I can't do this. And then it was, like, as soon as I prayed to God and, like, asked him for help, it was, like, the last line of the story just, like, popped into my head.
Awesome.
And then it was, like, suddenly the story just made sense to me in a way that before it almost felt like the Tower of Babel, where it just felt like it was just scrambled in my head and I couldn't make any sense of it. So I immediately drove, I think I went to, like, a Panera or something, and I wrote it. Like, I just wrote the story in, like, one sitting. And it was really cool. Yeah, like, I've never experienced something like that before. And I was really proud of, like, what I was able to accomplish. And it was cool, like, relying on God in, like, something that I guess I've always thought that I could just do on my own.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And so,
well, real quick, would you say, which category would you drop that in? The tending, the stewarding, or praying about?
I feel like that's something that I am trying to steward well.
Mm-hmm.
My creativity, or just telling stories. And it also just reminded me, like, that I think a lot of times when you have a creative gift, you think, okay, how am I going to use this to get famous? Or like, sometimes you think like, how can I use this actually for my community? Because our gifts are not actually for us. They're supposed to be for like the body. And so it made me think a lot about like writing stories for like kids at Remnant. And like, because a lot of times they would like come up and be like, what are you writing about? Like, can we hear the story that you're writing?
Yeah.
And I was thinking like, yeah, I want to be able to have this be a story that I can tell them. You know what I mean? So I think just realizing how to steward it. It's not like about trying to make this into a hustle. I mean, mm-hmm. It's not bad to use something. Like, it's not bad to like make money off of something. But I think more than that, it's like, how is this going to like aid your community? So what were the other two things?
Actively just tending to it. Or praying about it, something.
Yeah, so that, I feel like my creativity isn't something that I pray about a lot. And that experience really opened my eyes to like, this is actually something that I should be praying about. Mm-hmm. And like something that like, when I sit down and write, I should actually be praying about it, you know, letting God into it. I think a lot of times, like as a Christian, we tend to like compartmentalize a lot. This is like the God part of my life.
Yeah,
and definitely. This is like the me part of my life. But actually, like, I think having, like, a godly worldview, you start to see everything through the lens of God. But then also, like, letting God into, like, different compartments that, like, you hadn't before. And it wasn't, like, I didn't want to let God into that. Yeah. But I think it was just something that I didn't think I needed to. But, yeah, like, God should be permeating all of your life, whether it's, you know, writing a silly story or cooking. I mean,
yeah.
Whatever your gift is. So... does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Well, it's funny you said cooking because I'm realizing now how much I've been praying for God's help with even meal planning.
Meal planning is tough. It is God, not easy.
Even tonight, I'm like, God carried me through another dinner. Woo! Thank you, Lord.
There's the worst part, I think, of like being an adult is being like, what's for dinner tonight? And then you realize, oh, I have to do that.
Yep.
What am I going to make for dinner tonight?
Someone invite me over.
I'm in charge. Oh, no.
I love what you shared, which I'm sure will move right in the next thing that you're going to share about, but that you are talking about your art as being a gift and that you're also talking about growing it here, not just for like some unknown mass of people, which it definitely could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, no, I'm going to start with the people right in front of me. And I just think that's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think having a creative gift sometimes can be hard in that way. Like figuring out, like, especially like artistically, like you're like, how are my paintings going to do? How do I use that for the kingdom?
Yeah.
But it's like we're beautifying things. I don't know. Sometimes you have to use your creativity to figure it out.
Yeah.
How it'll.
Another thing you're watering, again, you've mentioned before, but it's the stories to the kids at Remnant. Did you know that Remnant has a writer's group?
No, I didn't.
Okay, we'll have to tell you about that. It's going pretty strong. It's in Deanna Williams' home, if anyone else is listening and doesn't know. And I think John Rimmer is heading it up. I think they're all working on short stories right now.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. Like I said, writing the short stories for the contest... It reminded me a lot about like how I like telling stories to the kids. It's funny because a lot of times I do tell them fairy tales, just the ones that I like. And occasionally I'll throw in one that I like made up myself. And I'll like whenever I tell it, I'm like, oh, that was crazy. But or like, oh, I don't think I told that one very well. But then it's funny. That's like always the ones that they remember. Kids have like such... like intense memories.
Yeah.
Like they remember like more than like I made up the story and like they remember more about it than I do. And I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot that I said that part too. But it's really cool like when they like stories that I come up with and it makes me feel really special. So one of the things that I just wanted to say was like, you know, I loved hearing stories when I was a kid and it's cool to be able to pass that along. And it's also cool when the kids want to tell me a story afterwards.
Oh, nice.
That's always fun. Like, I always try to encourage that. So if you ever see your kid coming up to me to ask about a story, they're not bothering me. actually, I feel like it blesses me more than it blesses them.
Yeah.
Just because it's cool to be able to entertain them like that. And I also think it's just like a cool way to be able to connect with kids. When I was a kid, I felt like I could talk to other kids, but I always kind of felt like a nuisance to adults. And that's something I'm really passionate about, because kids are, they're little people. Like, they're also part of our church. They're part of the body as well. And, you know, if a kid is talking to me and an adult comes up to talk to me, but I'm in the middle of a conversation with a kid, it doesn't matter if we're talking about our favorite color. Like, that's still an important conversation to that kid. Mm-hmm. And to that kid, like, I want them to know, like, that they have my attention. Yeah. And like, obviously I want to talk to the adult as well, but you know, it's important to me to have kids know that they're listened to, and I see them as people just as much as I see an adult as a person. So
yeah,
I feel like that's important.
Yeah.
And just like a cool thing that, yeah.
I was gonna bring up that Kill the Dragon, Get the Girl book again in this mm-hmm. part. Something that you had mentioned before that had made me think about it was, sometimes when you tell a story, it's to show the kids like they're in a, even if they're not going to be against a literal dragon, there's still dragons in our world of different sorts mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. Didn't you say that? Something mm-hmm. like that?
Yeah.
Well, in that story, there's a character named Tommy that, so Kill the Dragon, Get the Girl is a story about how that story is actually his story. Mm. And so the stories that he loves, which are particularly knight stories, and he likes swords as his preferred weapon and all that. And he ends up getting to use one later in this story, but it's, I think, just a really cool way of showing kids that, yes, like, if, like I said, you, we can't know the future, but sometimes if you have a rich backlog of stories in your mind, you can like anticipate what you should do in this situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Or what could happen to you, or, you know, what a good character is going to be like. You probably judge the story better than me, but I like the way that you're sort of dropped in on an ordinary day. And, you know, what's going to happen next is just sort of unbelievable. But at the same time, they were prepared. They had all that they needed. It was just sort of up to their character. What was internally inside of them? What are they going to do? And how are they going to face this challenge, which is literally slaying a dragon? And it's just really kind of cool. And going to the underworld to rescue these kids. And I don't know. It's pretty.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think a lot of times stories can tell us exaggerated forms of parables, kind of mm-hmm. like, you know, sometimes stories are about how to be a good friend. And sometimes they're just showing us how to not be, like, how to be not a bad friend. You know yeah. what I mean? Where you're like, oh, wow. Like, you know, the story might not have had romance in it, but it was about two friends trying to, like, help each other. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, you know, it was a silly story, but at the end, it was about how, you know, one character sacrificed a lot to, like, help their friend.
Yeah.
And, like, that's important for kids to know, too. Like, you know, sometimes when it comes to helping your friend in real life, there's still, you might not have to, like, trick an old witch or something
yeah.
to help your friend. But it might still, like, have real risk to it. Like,
yeah.
maybe helping your friend is not easy. And, like, mm-hmm. you know, when you think of stories like that, you're like, well, you know, I don't have to slay a dragon to help my friend, but I do have to overcome being a people pleaser to do it.
Yep.
It's sometimes scarier.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. All right, so we're moving on to training and pruning. We're halfway along.
Oh, yeah.
Kat, what in your life does not feel good right now, but is good?
This year has been definitely interesting. I feel like I have felt very convicted to be a lot more mindful about, like, what comes out of my mouth. I think being somebody who's definitely a bit of a chatterbox, you know, you never know what's going to come out of your mouth, and you have to train your tongue. And that can be really hard, especially when it comes to how you talk about other people. And I am definitely not perfect, and I still slip up. But I think, like, gossip is, like, a very real issue. Especially at work, I'm not really, like, tempted to, like, you know, start a gossip line about ladies at Brennan particularly. But at work, I definitely am. It's, like, been a really big challenge and something that I have slipped up a lot in the past. And so then sometimes it's hard when you have already started a habit of, like, gossiping about a certain person.
Sure.
And then you are trying to turn a new leaf, and it can be very awkward. I think as women, gossip is a very cheap and easy way to bond and create emotional intimacy, because you're kind of, one, you're kind of making yourself feel better, like, at least I'm not like this person. But it's also like, you know, you have that shared trauma of like, oh, you know, Stacy said this at work. Can you believe it? It's like, yeah, she said that to me too, you know, where it's like a way that you feel like connected. But it's funny because one of the things that convicted me about this in particular is gossip was one of the things that made me feel so alienated from my church, like overhearing things that people were saying about me. That, you know, really, like, I mean, I know we use the word trauma a lot in like the culture that we're living in right now, but it was traumatizing. Like, you know, I still remember some of the things that were said about me. Like, you know, there are things that, like, you know, you look in the mirror and you're like, oh man, are my ears too big? Or like, you know, like people used to be like, oh, you know, because I was wearing those big velvet tent dresses and then sitting in the car and like sweating. I mean, I didn't smell amazing. Let's be real. And I remember like I went to the bathroom once, or I think I might have been in like the bathroom stall. This is such a like thing that would happen in a movie, but it really did happen to me in real life. And two girls came into the bathroom and they're like, Kat stinks so bad. And I am like so paranoid now about smelling bad. Like, a lot of times when I come to church, people like hug me and they're like, oh, you smell so nice. And I think like, I have to. Like, that's like my fear. I don't want to smell bad. And like, you know, that happened to me when I was like 13.
Yeah.
I still remember that. Like so many years later. So yeah, it's hard because sometimes people, they do things that like are so annoying that you're almost like they deserve to be gossiped about, but actually nobody actually deserves to be gossiped about.
Yeah. So what do you think God's training you away from? Man's approval or just laziness when it comes to what you say or anything like that?
I think God is just training me to be like very purposeful with what I'm saying. Like I said, it can be a bit of a chatterbox, but you know, you have to, like, words have power, just like a story has power. Like the things that you say are working as a narrative towards your view of the world. And you know, as Christians, we are ambassadors, heavenly ambassadors. And like where I work, my coworkers aren't Christians. So like what they see of me is, you know, that's how they might see Christians. And I know I have challenged their view on Christians in a lot of ways, but I also like mess up. Like I'm a person and I definitely mess up. And sometimes that means apologizing or, you know, saying like, you know, I said this and that was actually really messed up. And like, I'm sorry that I said that. But some things that I've been convicted by is from everyone's favorite book of the Bible, Proverbs. Maybe it's just me. I always feel really threatened by Proverbs. I mean, there's a lot of good ones in there, but there's also a lot that are kind of scary. So here's a couple. A lot of these are from the Message version, which I mentioned that I really like. But if CSB had like a different kind of version, I'll say that too. So here's Proverbs 18:21. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Proverbs 18:8 says, listening to gossip is like eating cheap candy. Do you really want junk like that in your belly? Food for that. Proverbs 15:4 says, kind words heal and help, cutting words wound and maim. The CSB version goes as far as to say, as it breaks the spirit, which I was like, oh, that's really intense. And this one is from Ephesians, not Proverbs, but it's 4:29. It says, watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Each word is a gift. And the CSB version says, to say only what's good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. So these are definitely uncomfortable. And when I come across them, it does really convict me about just being mindful of what I say. A lot of times, like I talk without like really thinking about what I'm saying. I just kind of let it come. Even sometimes like in community group, I'm like, you know, like I could have thought that out a little bit better. So it's a little more organized, or like, you know, you don't have to always be stream of consciousness, but especially when it comes to other people, like you could be ruining their reputation. It could affect the way, like, you know, one of my coworkers can really annoy me sometimes. And like sometimes even the way I talk about her, like I might not be like directly talking about her in a bad way, but even sometimes the way that I say what I say, like then the kids kind of are like, oh, Miss B doesn't like her. I don't want to like her either. You know what I mean? Where that's not necessary.
Yeah.
The kids have no reason to like dislike her. Or like if kids are like, oh, she's annoying. Like I don't have to agree with them. Even if I do, I can be like, you know, she works really hard, or like, you know, bring up some good things about people. So I don't know. I'm definitely really convicted about that. It's easy to like cut others down. It's easy to bring up unflattering things. Like I said, it can make you feel better about yourself. So I would kind of wrap that up by saying we have to give grace to people the way that Christ gave us grace. As Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ and God forgave you. Yeah. So a lot of times it's like if we expect God to give us something, we should try to be the same way to others. You know, just like the parable of the more we're forgiven, the more we should be forgiving towards others. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Sometimes I also think it's like an arrogance of like, oh, I'm so much better than you that like I can like say bad stuff about you.
Yeah. Definitely.
So, yeah.
That kind of goes unchecked. Most of us don't even realize that's kind of at play. We overestimate ourselves so yeah. much, I think. Or I do.
I don't know if you've ever heard of this. Like, this hasn't actually happened to me, but it's like my biggest nightmare. Have you ever been like afraid? I feel like this might be like one of those, what's it called? Like a urban, like, it's not urban outfit.
Legend.
An urban legend. Yeah. It's like you're talking about somebody, maybe you're talking about them with your friend or something. You're nowhere near them, but like your phone hears you and it calls them, and then yeah. the person ends up hearing like what yeah, you yeah. said about them. What I think of is if that person is actually secretly listening to me,
right.
how they feel about what I'm talking about. That, yeah, it's really convicting, because mm-hmm. then you think like, ugh, I wouldn't want them to know that I was saying this. If I wouldn't want to say it in front of them, I probably shouldn't say it at all.
Yeah. I kind of was thinking about Romans 12 in response to all the things that you shared and mm-hmm. wrote, and the scripture about don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good and pleasing and the perfect will of God. And so maybe there's a point like you can still be a Christian following God, but you're not really aware or discerning like actually this is an offense to him, and he is so gracious to let us offend him because it's all on Christ. But at the same time, like, we are to be growing in that discernment of what is pleasing to God and his will. I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, that's great. I think that is definitely, yeah, growing in discernment is important. I feel like it's like going from like being a baby Christian to like eating meat and mm-hmm. like, you know, standing up on your two feet and like not just reading but understanding, you know, and using like what you've read to like apply
yeah
in your day-to-day life. I think that can be really hard.
And even understanding more deeply what God has given you. Like, we could say, oh God, I don't have anything in this situation, I don't have anything to offer, but he actually, your mouth, every part of our body is a gift. Like, actually we can use it for the opposite instead of like to tear down. This can actually function to build somebody up.
Yeah,
and
encourage.
Yes,
exactly.
And all of these things. And it's not like fake and arbitrary. It's real love that flows through, and love is the thing that lasts, right? I mean.
True, true.
And so, yeah. Or worship. Like, there's so many things that can come out of your mouth even. Mm-hmm. And that for most people, your mouth stays with you your whole life. Mm-hmm. So you always got it
yeah.
to your advantage, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That is super true. And, you know, in today's age, it's also like being mindful of what you post too sometimes.
Sure.
Now, on like social media, like your words are permanent. Like
yeah.
once you post them, you might as well have carved them into stone, you know? So, yeah, it definitely means that you have to be careful of what you say. Not just in a like fearful of man way, but just if these words are eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Is this worth saying?
Yeah. Ryan told me something, maybe it was yesterday. Yeah. We were driving. He's like, I don't remember I heard this, but it was something about someone famous said, Satan doesn't care so much if you sin. What he really cares about is that you despair.
Mm.
And so, yeah, just thinking about My mind just got really tired, but okay.
Sorry, it's like 11 p.m.
It's okay. I'm not a night owl. But yeah, just thinking about, okay, that really hit me. If I'm despairing, am I even going to think about God's power? No, I'm absolutely saying in my mind that I think he doesn't have power here, that he can't change the situation. Or probably what you see in your coworkers is like, this is really tricky. Well, Satan wants you to despair that there's not a way that you can function with them as a Christian. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I think another big thing that like I have to deal with at work is just like really negative outlooks.
Mm-hmm.
We love to complain. So not even just talking about gossiping, but just like having like a complaining spirit of, oh, why does this have to happen? So we were talking earlier about gratefulness.
Yeah.
That's like another thing that I've been really trying to work at this year and that I'd like to continue to grow in. I think generally I would say I was a pretty happy person, but I am also very dramatic. Not as publicly as I used to be, but definitely privately, I am super dramatic.
I want to know what this means. Like, do you throw open your door when you walk in the house? And like,
that's how I was as like a teenager, okay. To be honest.
Yeah.
Like, throw myself onto the bed and like, I cry like pretty easily, like, you know, like turn up like some sad music and like cry like pathetically, like I don't know. I think mainly like it's more like the way that I think,
okay,
like in my head, because I've learned to like maybe don't make that so in front of everybody. It's kind of cringy, but in my head it's still pretty cringy. Like I'll be like, I'm the most pathetic person in the entire universe and everybody hates me. Like it'll like spiral, especially like right before like my period. I feel like, mm-hmm, I'm very like, oh, everybody hates me and like they probably think this about me, which is actually really rude to people to think everybody hates me, because I'm like, why would I put that thought in their head? So I feel like and I do have, you know, problems with like expectations, like when they aren't met, like I'll be like, man, like I talked with my dad and I was imagining it was going to end with us like hugging and being like, yeah, we really figured that out. But instead my dad is just like, yep. Or like he wasn't really listening to me or like giving me his full attention. And then I'm just like, oh, like I hate this. So I think falling back on gratefulness instead of woefulness has certainly been good,
yeah,
for my mental state. But it's also a reminder of how God takes care of me and is good. So one of the verses that I think about a lot is Philippians 4. There's the first part where it's talking about, you know, don't worry, don't be stressed out, which I used to always hate that, because it's like when you're like telling your friend like, oh, I'm really anxious, and they're like, don't be anxious, and you're like, oh thanks.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I was like, wow, now the Bible is doing that to me too. But if you keep reading, there is actually, it tells you how to stop doing that, how, mm-hmm, to stop being anxious and worrying and like being spiraled into woefulness and negativity. It says in verses 8-9, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. So it's not just you thinking, don't worry, but it's like if you actually focus on those things. The things that are honorable, the things that are true, justice, when you think of things that are pure, lovely, it says specifically lovely, like things that are beautiful, commendable, excellent, praiseworthy. Those are the things that we should be dwelling on. But I think in our culture, it's a lot easier. And I think a lot of times, weirdly, more acceptable, more cool to think of things in a negative way. One time I went on this trip with my friend. We went to the Science Museum. And when we came back, she was like, well, what'd you think? And like the first three things that I said were like, well, it's really hot. I was really mad that the one exhibit had, you know, there's so many kids, which is fine. But then we weren't able to like experience it. And then I said something else. And my friend was like, you know, that actually makes me really sad, because I actually really enjoyed myself. But you saying like three negative things makes me kind of feel stupid for like enjoying it. And that really convicted me. I was, mm-hmm, like, oh, you're right. That would make me feel bad too. Like, oh man, here I was enjoying myself and like, you know, Kat's like hating her life over,
yeah,
here. Then I was thinking like, I need to think about things in a more positive way. Like I need to, you know, think about, like, well, what good happened? Like, you know, there's always going to be complaints. No matter what you do,
sure,
there's going to be something to complain about. But I feel like as Christians, we should be thinking about the things that are lovely and commendable and honorable and true. And I think even when we think about others in that way, so even my annoying coworker, well, if I try to think about what is pure and lovely and commendable and honorable about her, maybe I won't be tempted to, like, you know, complain about her all the time. So I think a lot of times it's giving each other grace, giving, you know, your circumstance grace, and just kind of letting go of it and not being so critical of it all the time, because otherwise you're just looking for things to criticize, and then that's all you're going to see, because that's what you're looking for.
I read this book maybe 2 years ago, probably heard of it, Pollyanna.
Oh, yeah. I know that one.
Actually read
I think I've only seen the movie, but like the really old one.
Yes. But I was like, you know, I'm going to read this book for myself. It's probably a silly book to a lot of people, but I was really impacted by it, about this young girl and the fact that the character is a kid doing this and like persisting and finding the good. And I think the book brings God in a lot more than the movie does. But yeah, it was just, it impacted me. I recommend that one too.
I feel like, especially in like the cultural waters that we're in right now, where it's kind of like, I feel like people don't understand things like real friendship and stuff like that anymore, because we have like this impulse to just, you know what, I didn't like that reaction. Time to cancel that person, or time to cut that person out of my life. Where it's like, in real life, you're gonna have disagreements, and like, you know, even in your marriage and like in any kind of relationship, really, you're going to run into problems eventually. And so I think having a more grateful and a more Philippians 4:8-9 mindset is going to help you through it, because you're going to give that person grace and the benefit of the doubt instead of just assuming things, or I think that's super important too.
Yeah. And it makes sense too, like, if we're talking about kids so much, don't we want them to, we're constantly training them to be that way.
Yeah, it's funny because when I was talking about that trip that I went on, it wasn't really a trip, it was just going to the space museum.
Sorry, I was laughing. I'm like, was it another state? Like, sorry, where was this
like
place?
I went to France or something. No, it was just the Richmond Science Museum. But my friend, okay, so after she had like convicted me of like being really negative, I think my parents were actually in Europe, and we picked them up from the airport. And so we were like, how was the trip? And like all that they said was like negative stuff. So my friend was like, oh, it's learned behavior. And she's like, you're going to have to try even harder, but you can do it. And I was like, thank you. But now I notice that when people go on trips, like I notice what they say. I'm like, oh, I struggle with that too sometimes.
Let's go to weeding.
Weeding.
You got two things.
Weeding. I think consistency when it comes to praying and being in the Word is a huge thing that I need to work on in terms of, does that make sense even? Okay, cool. I tend to be a feeler, obviously. I'm pretty emotional, and spending quality time with others is a huge way that I can either feel really close to somebody or feel like I'm drifting away with somebody. So it's no wonder that when I feel estranged from God, it's because I haven't been talking to him or reading what he has to say. It seems obvious, but you know, when it's happening to you, it doesn't feel as obvious as that.
So you're acknowledging conviction in this area. What are some excuses you make?
Oh, okay. That's a good one. A lot of times I'm like, oh, you know, I'm really not in the mind space to do this right now. One of the things, for example, during the school year, I am not a morning person. Usually the first couple of hours that I'm awake, I'm just really fuzzy minded. For a while I was reading, actually I was listening to the scriptures in the morning, because I really think it would be good for me to like go into work with like that kind of armor of God on, where it's like, okay, I'm listening to the scripture, I have this on. Now when I deal with my annoying coworker or like child or whatever that's going on at work, you know, I'm remembering this. But I would honestly, I would just fall asleep like while I was listening to it. Like I couldn't stay awake. But I think I just need to like literally make myself wake up and just be like, well, maybe don't listen to it in bed. Like, you know what I mean? Like maybe actually.
That is your favorite place.
It is my favorite place. Sometimes it's just laziness where I'm like, I just don't want to do that right now. Or, you know, there's something more interesting that I would rather do. You know, like I said, I'm not a very organized person, but I do think that, like, building in that routine is, like, really important. And so that's something that I'm really hoping to work on in terms of the habit and discipline this summer before the school year starts up again, is just carving out that time. And even if it is, maybe I am more productive at night. And, like, if I, you know, read it the night before and then maybe, like, listen to it on my way to work or something, like, that's at least something. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes I make it into this big lofty thing where I was like, well, I have to read at least 5 chapters, where it's like, I think Pastor James was like, maybe it's just reading a couple of verses. Like, it doesn't have to, you know, you don't have to be an overachiever, like, start small. But I feel like this is, like, a big thing of in my family, where it's like, well, if you're gonna do it, you might as well go all out.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it's like that expectation things, it makes it into this thing that you, like, can't achieve. So sometimes I feel too lame to be like, I'll just read 10 verses. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's not enough.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, it's better than 0 verses.
That's right.
And so I think, yeah, maybe, like, my intentions are good, but, like, I need to just buckle down and actually do it. I feel like I'm a good idea. Like, I'm like, oh, I would love to do this thing. But then actually, like, sitting down and, like, doing it is another thing altogether.
So if we're going to keep consistent with the category, which is weeding, what do you think is the weed?
Oh, what do I need to pull out?
Yeah.
In some ways, I feel like my comfort. Like,
okay.
You know, it's easier and more comfortable to get more sleep. Maybe, like, self-control. So I need to weed out not being in control, or like.
Or your expectation.
Yeah, yeah. My expectations of what I want it to be versus, like, a more realistic, this is what it will be kind of thing.
Well, that answers that.
Yeah. Something when it comes to prayer, one of the pastors said something that really convicted me a couple weeks ago, that if we aren't praying, we don't really think we need God. And I was like, that definitely was a knife to the heart for me, because I was like, wow, like, once again, we're back to this, you know, how self-reliant am I really being? I don't really consider myself a very self-reliant person, but I think that's another thing I've been noticing this year, is like the ways, like, you know, when it came to writing, like I was talking about before, or, you know, things that I think that I can handle on my own, where it's like, just, you know, sometimes even just praying, like, God, help me pray more. Mm-hmm. Like, God, help me to want to read your word. Help it not to be a chore. So, yeah.
No, that's great. All right. This is fun to go now to your harvest if you want to.
Yay, yay, yay.
So we've got a lot here, which is praise the Lord. What are your answered prayers, ways you've seen God's faithfulness to you, or everyday graces in your life or victories?
Well, I think I am really grateful that even though it's been hard training my tongue, and obviously I'm not perfect at it yet, I did see a lot of growth in that area for me, which is really great. It was, you know, I feel like some of my other relationships at work did kind of tank a little bit after that, but, like, you know, like, that was encouraging to me that, you know, I've definitely been doing a bit better. So that was really good. I have been praying for a long time to finish writing something. And okay. I feel like this contest kind of helped me. Like, you know, short stories are short. And I was under a time constraint. And so I feel like that built up my confidence a lot. And I feel like it was just an answer to prayer in that, like, helped me rely on God more and, like, finish some stuff, and, like, that felt really good. I feel like kind of was talking about this earlier when I was talking about, like, just my story, but going through Genesis at church has actually been really awesome. Mm-hmm. It's helped me understand how God views women, and, like, that's been super amazing, actually, like, healing for me. Because Genesis really does put me in a bad mood a lot of times, so like, the message that we had about Hagar and just, like, God meeting her where she was, like, at the well, like, that was, like, really cool. He saw her, you know, yeah. Like, he met her there, like, literally, that was really cool. I know, like, when we get to, like, you know, Leah and Rachel, like, yeah. Oh, that's one that always gets me mad. So I'm excited to see how they will, how the pastors will, like, enlighten me and, like, help yeah. me understand that in, like, a better way.
Well, you just brought up something that at the beginning of the podcast, there was something I was like, oh, I don't want to chase that down. And it was literally when we were talking about images and story and the power of them. And something that came to mind was literally the well in the scriptures. And I keep telling people this because I'm like, people got to talk to him. But Jared Bowers in our church, he's been really doing a lot of work for Maker Institute. And he's going to teach Biblical Narrative 1 and 2. And what he's going to do in a lot of ways is lift out the connections and the threads of all these like images in the scripture. And the well is one of them. And so when he talked about it, well, he even said when he kind of saw the pattern that he started to cry himself because of how deep, beautiful and significant the well is in the scriptures. And I don't know, I hope someday he could share about it, because there's just really moving and really cool that in the Bible, just count on the fact that things aren't arbitrary. There's connections. Like if you see a well somewhere and a well somewhere else, you should be looking, where else do I see a well? And like, how do they tie together? And what is God showing here? What is the story he's writing with this? I don't know. So I just had to drop that
in there. No, that's cool. I mean, if you think about Hagar at the well, it immediately made me think of Jesus at the well with like the woman at the well.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So you're like, oh man.
There's
like
a really powerful fulfillment. I think they're even the same well.
I think you might be right.
Yes.
So, and you know, like with Isaac meeting Rachel, like that was like at a well. Like, I mean, if you think about it, like in the ancient world, like wells were super important. Like that's where you got your water from. So, that makes sense. Like that's really cool. It's funny because as somebody who likes literature, there are some things that I'm like, oh, I see how this is being repeated. But it's also cool, like, one of the things I really love about Remnant is like they'll point out other more in depth about other things that I'm like, oh, you know, numbers. I hate numbers. I didn't know they're important. Or like Egypt. Egypt means something. Like, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Well, speaking about Remnant, you kind of threw that in there.
Yeah. Talking about my life always helps me to be more grateful, because it reminds me of the answered prayer that I found Remnant, and that I get to be in a church that has the strong community that it does. It's been really cool to see like different women, how they deal with things. Like I said, as a body, like seeing the different talents and strengths that they bring to the table. Working in kids ministry, for example, like I work with Hannah Gross a lot of times, and it's really cool seeing like her flexing her gifts, like with teaching and dealing with kids together. So that's been really fun. Or like I said, just like, you know, every week we get a new person cooking, you know, for our community group, and that's like always fun. Or just hearing what different people have to say, and like hearing different people's prayers and like answers. Like, it's funny because, you know, when you ask for prayer and then when your prayer gets answered, it's cool to be able to share that and be like, this is something we all prayed for, and like it's cool that we're all excited about it. You know what I mean? And you know, like even though I feel like my job has been more like complicated this year than it has been in the past, but it is pretty cool that that was something that I prayed for a lot. Like when I came back here, I was like, you know, I don't want to be a barista, and like a lot of times I would feel kind of ashamed about, like, I was like, oh, I can't believe I was an art major. Like, that was so stupid. Or, like, you know, what was I thinking being, a literature and art, you know, like, why did I study those things? Besides the fact that I just felt like it, you know what I mean? But I feel like God, you know, the job that I'm in, like, uses the skills of both of those so much that it makes me feel like, you know, it was worth it. Like, even if it wasn't worth it, that's fine. But it's cool that I get a job that, you know, I do get to use both of those things. And that continued theme of my community really having my back, like through, you know, like all, you know, through COVID, through like just different phases of my life, I feel like my community has just always been there for me, my community group. And I think that that's really cool. As supported as I felt in Korea, like it's cool that I continue to be supported and stuff here. The last one I was gonna say, it's kind of awkward, but anyway.
I like that you put it.
Okay. So I also feel like very beautiful. The older I get, it's kind of weird. Like I know, like in some ways we're as women, I guess, in a society kind of way, I'm not talking in a biblical way, I feel like we're supposed to get more insecure the older we get. But I feel like every year I'm like, man, like I'm like the apex of like how good looking I am. Like every year, I'm like, wow, I'm looking even better.
You go to the mirror, victory. I know.
Which is really like cool. It's not something I was like expecting. And I think that it is like a God thing because it's not like a vanity thing, but it's more that I'm just like more comfortable in my own skin. And I feel more confident in like being able to express myself style wise. I think that was something I was always afraid to do when I was younger. So sometimes I think of like, man, like if younger me saw me, like she would want to know me. I think that that's like cool. And I would want to know, you know, awkward me as well. So I don't know. I just think that that's cool. And I try to like be very affirmative, you know, like we were talking about gratefulness earlier. Like one of my features that is not my favorite is like my upper arms. Just like, it's always like a random thing. It's like,
yeah.
So a woman will be like, I just hate my knees. And I'm like, I've literally never looked at your knees. Like, but I mean, then you're like, whoa, I see. But even on days where I'm like, oh man, what's up with these upper arms? I have to just like go through like, you know what? These upper arms, they pick up books. They help me pick
They're
up
going
my
places.
Nephew. Like I would be very sad if I didn't have these upper arms actually. And when I think of them more for function than like just aesthetics, it makes me like appreciate my body and like what it can do. And then I start to appreciate it aesthetically as well. So I don't know.
You have a heart at rest, right?
Yes. So yeah, like let's build each other up. If you see a lady this Sunday and you think she looks pretty, just go up and tell her. Be yeah. like, you know what? That lipstick's looking fly. I love that on you. Or like that color looks amazing on you. I promise it'll make that person stay.
I can grow in that. I appreciate the encouragement.
Yeah.
Okay. You got one more here. You said that you have been growing in contentedness.
That is true. Contentedness is something that I have been growing in. So I think like as a single lady, it's very like stressful, I will say, like to be single in your late 30s, because you're kind of like, is this gonna happen? In one way you're kind of like, well, you know, even if it happens when I'm 50, like it's still gonna happen. Or you know, maybe it won't happen, but I feel like, I don't know, like whenever I feel really unsettled about it, I think I just have to like look back and see the things that I've been able to do because of where my life is right now. And I feel like that does make me feel content. Or if I think about, I've been on a lot of dates this year. And when I think about the ones that didn't work out, which was all of them, I think like, you know, like I learned a lot of things about mm-hmm. like God and about myself. And like a lot of times I went on a date with somebody and I thought that they were interesting, but they just like didn't really love God. And like, I don't really feel bad about walking away from that. Just trusting God of like, you know, like it's really not worth, as much as I would love to be married, it's not worth being married to somebody that doesn't love God.
Right. Yeah.
Like I would rather just be the way that I am now. And so like, I don't know. I mean, being single, sometimes it's amazing. Sometimes it's terrible. But yeah, just like being content where you are and like trying to, like I said, manageable chunks of time. This is where I am right now. Like, what can I do with what I have and moving on from there? So I think that's definitely something that God's been growing me in, something that I would like to continue to grow in. And just, I don't know, like, you know, you can't say like, I want to be happy, because happy is such a fleeting thing. But content sure. is such a, like, you know, you can be content even when you're scared, or even when you're angry, or even when, you know, things are going crazy. So that's something that I definitely aspire towards.
Well, Kat, this rounds out all the questions I have for you. And now I'm just going to ask you to share, what did you bring tonight that's from home that's maybe a little more personal to you?
So we talked a little bit about how I really love Philippians 4. And we talked about how I've been trying to be more grateful. And so actually, a sweet friend of mine has been trying to memorize more verses and asked me if I wanted to join her. And I was like, yeah, because I am terrible at remembering things. So I, in order to help me remember it, I made a little song that is just the verse, Philippians 4:4-6. about rejoicing, and I just want to share that with you guys.
Great. I'm going to play it because Kat won't sing it live.
Sorry.
She sent it to me. This has been so much fun, and I wish we could talk more, but I'm falling asleep.
I'm finally awake now.
Wow. All right. Thanks for coming on, Kat.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It's been fun getting to know you and chatting with you.
Likewise.
Rejoice, rejoice, let your graciousness be known, everyone is near, he's so near, near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God and the peace of Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Whole Home Podcast, a podcast that displays the unity of sisters in the local church and the way God so wonderfully gives us to each other in our uniqueness and in our sameness for His glory. The stories we share weave together as one grand testimony to the work of Christ and His faithful presence in the garden of our lives. Remember, the master gardener is always at work, so let's yield to him and grow where we're planted.